camp to know Him. This is a new school year kickoff, and it's in Pisgah, Alabama. And in my mind, I'm thinking about Brother David Smith. And so I reach out to him. I reached out to him a couple of times the past couple of weeks, which leads me to say something else. But I reached out to him yesterday. I said, you wouldn't by chance run a camp called Camp to Know Him over in your area, would you? He said, well, he says, there is a camp that a lot of churches use over here. And he says, it's not our church camp, but it's a great place. And I told him my daughter was going, coming his way. And so just pray for them. They'll be gone for 2 days. This is something new Principal Bo is doing. And if they can come back knowing him more, that'd be a blessing. In saying that, Brother David Smith, he is, of course, still in need of your prayers. He's Dublin. The doctors have been warning him, and he is now doubling his chemo pill every day. So he takes 2 a day, and once a month he goes for immune therapy. And so in October he's going for his next scan. And so I asked how we could pray for him, and he said, just pray that I could stomach all this medication and pray for a good report. And he said, by the way, I just want you to know, I'm still preaching 3 days a week and getting ready to preach a revival next week. And so what a blessing. And I put on the bottom of my text, hashtag waiting on the Ram. Remember those that were here when he preached this past Jubilee, he preached on that subject, waiting on the Ram. That's when he told us about his cancer. And that's when we laid hands on him and prayed. And so just remember Grace Christian Academy and Brother David Smith. All right, we're in the book of Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And you pray for us this morning as we try to follow the Lord's leading. And so anyway, just remember us. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. And then I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy 1. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, you know my heart. I know your heart because it's in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help me this morning, guide me. And Father, the thoughts that you planted in my heart from these verses, I pray that they would come out the way they're in. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet someone's need this morning. May someone get saved. May a life be transformed. May Christian come back to the fold. May we all be encouraged. All these things I ask in Jesus' name, and thanksgiving in my heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. And verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edirai. Verse number 5, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey. And go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. I want to stop reading there in verse number 8. This is the fifth book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. And the first five books of the Bible are also known as the Pentateuch. So Moses being the penman of all five of these books. The name Deuteronomy means second law. Second law. We know that we have recorded in the book of Deuteronomy Moses reiterating the law that he gave so many years ago when they came out of Egyptian bondage. And so now we're on the hills of the book of Joshua. Moses had ran his race, and he is getting ready to wrap up his course and die just outside of the land of Canaan. And we know that he is doing two things with the book of Deuteronomy for the children of Israel. He is reminding them of what God has done, and he's also reminding them of their wanderings in the wilderness. But also he's preparing them to go in to Canaan land and to possess it. This morning, with that said, I want to call your attention to verse number 6. Notice with me, the Bible says, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." I want to use verse number 6 as my text verse, and I want to use those two words there where he says, "Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." And I want to preach a few moments on this subject. It's been long enough. It's been long enough. And again, Moses here, he is reminding Israel of what God has done. He's reminding them of God's faithfulness, his provisions, and his love and mercy and care. And as I said a moment ago, I'll say it again, he's also reminding them of their wanderings. Because this morning it's essential that we learn from our mistakes. As someone said one time, history has the tendency of repeating itself if we never learn. And so we have here Moses, and he is reiterating a lot of things that God said. In verse number 6, he says that you have been where you're at long enough. It's time to go in. And so again, I want to preach on that subject. It's been long enough. You say, "Brother Justin, what does this have to do with me in my life this morning?" Well, maybe there's someone here, maybe there's someone watching on Facebook where you have been in a rut, and it's been long enough you've been in that rut. Maybe someone is here in the building this morning, and you're listening to this message and trying to make application. Well, here's the application. The application is God wants you to move forward. God wants you to leave some things behind and move forward. You see, the Lord never called Israel out of Egypt for them to stay at Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai was not to be their forever home. Their forever home was to be in Canaan land. Now, Mount Sinai is a picture of the Old Testament. Of course, no doubt, that's where he received the Ten Commandments. And so we have here the Old Testament, And in like manner, we see that God is wanting them to move into Canaan. Canaan can be a picture of the New Testament. So he wants them to go from being under heavy law to enjoying what they have in their God. A lot of Christians this morning are placing themselves back under the law. When a person gets saved, they are free from the law, meaning that they're no longer under the law, they're under grace. And so therefore, we still want to abide by the law. But you see, for a Christian who's not living right, a person who is distant from God, the very pages of God, the Word of God, is a burden to them. It's a burden to them because they're not following the Lord. And so we have here Moses, and he is stirring up Israel one more time. He's reminding them of where they have been and where they're at now. And he is preparing them to go from Mount Sinai, to go where they're at now, into Canaan land, and to finally possess that land. I want to mention a few things, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Number one, in verse number 6, as we just mentioned, we see an ending here, an ending. He says in verse number 6, "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." And of course, the next verse tells us, "Turn you and take your journey." So number one, we see an ending here. Did you know God wants us to put an ending to things that are idle in our life? You know that God wants us to climb out of the ruts that we may be into. The Lord, he spake through Moses here, and he says, "You've been here long enough in this mount." Now, if you go back and you read verse number 1 through 3, notice verse number 3, if you would, for example. He says, "And it came to pass in the 40th year." The 40th year. And so we see here that 40 years the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and this was 39 going into 40. They are located here at Horeb. They are at the mount. And God says, "You've been here long enough. You've been here long enough. You spent not only a year here in preparations of going over into Canaan land, but ultimately it's been 40 years. He says, "You know that I will provide for you because I have. Your feet, your shoes, they never wore out. You were fed with manna every day in spite of you. I was faithful." And he said, you've been here long enough. You've wandered long enough. You've taken the blessings of God for granted long enough. He says, "There is something required of you as a child of mine, and that is to lift anchor and set sail." This morning, there may be some people here. Again, there may be some watching or listening on our webpage, and you've been defeated for a long time. There's things in your home place that are not right. There may be marriages that are not right, and they've been not right long enough. There may be relationships with parents and children that have not been right for a long time. And guess what? They've been not right for a long time, long enough. The Lord this morning is wanting you to lift anchor, set sail, and walk right into His blessings that He has for you. So we see that there's an ending here. "The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only an ending, but I want you to notice in verse number 7, an endeavor. There's an endeavor here. Verse 7, he says, "Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and into all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Notice what he says, those first two words, turn you. Do an about face. If I could say it this way, he says, repent, turn you. Do an about face, which would be this. I'm facing this way, and I've been facing this way for a long time. I've been looking at some things for a long time. I've been listening to some things for a long time. I've just been walking this way for a long time. Jesus, God says through Moses, turn you, do an about face, and go the opposite direction. This morning, that's exactly what some of us need to do. We've been going the wrong way for a long time. We've been listening to some things that are not beneficial to us for a long time. We've been doing some things that is not beneficial to us for a long time. Been in a rut, been in a valley, brought a lot of hurt and turmoil upon our own lives and families. This morning, I want to say, turn you. Turn your life around. Make it an about face. Now, not only does he say, turn you, but he says this, and take your journey. Can I say that coming out of a rut or allowing God to change your life, even as being a believer, changing it more, going in a new direction, doing new things that will benefit you and your family, it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. Some people have spent years upon years and they say they're saved. They say they're born again. And they might be. But they have created habits and they have created routines and they have created a way of living. And sometimes it's not going to happen overnight to change all those things. It's a journey this morning. It's a journey. God this morning wants all of us to commit to the journey. Now in verse number 7 as well, he mentions that there's mountains. And he says, turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside. That's a lot of traveling. That's a lot of ups and that's a lot of downs. But what he's saying is, I want you to turn from where you're at. I've got a better land that lies ahead for you, and I want you to take your journey. It's going to take some time. There's going to be some uphill climbing. There's going to be some good times where things are much better. You're able to get your feet under you. There's going to be some ups. There's going to be some downs. There's going to be some ins. There's going to be some outs. But that's a journey. That's what a journey is. It is committing to the process. I wondered this morning, is there anybody willing? Listen, I'm not just preaching to those who are habitually living a life of sin. I'm preaching to all of us. I'm preaching to me. This past week, I recommitted my life to the process that he has. And you know this morning that Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt is also a picture of bondage. Canaan land is a picture of the spirit-filled life. A lot of people say it's heaven. It's more so the spirit-filled life. And so the same way that Moses took the children of Israel on an exodus, took them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and all those experiences, got them 11 days from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea within striking distance. Sent the spies out. They came back with a negative report, minus two of them. Discouraged all the people. They threw their hands up and wandered for 40 years. And so now they're on the brink of doing the very same thing. God is positioning them. Moses is positioning them for success. But what I was going to say was going from Egypt to Canaan is leaving that old life behind and enjoying the new life. And it is an exodus. It's a journey. So this morning, that's what we see when we look in verse number 7. He tells them to turn and take your journey. Are you willing this morning to commit to a journey with Jesus? Are you willing this morning to commit to actually putting forth a hearty effort of getting out of the rut you're in? Will you commit to that this morning for the honor and glory of God? Will you say, you know what? I've tried my way, and I've been facing this way for so long, and all I have is temporary happiness. All I have is moments of peace, no real joy. I come to church and it's all fake. I've spent no time with Jesus. Aren't you ready for a real encounter with God? Aren't you ready this morning to lift anchor and set sail toward Jesus in the life that He has for you? God has a purpose. God has a plan for each and every person here this morning. His purpose and His plan is for nobody in here to die in Moab or Egypt. You remember the book of Ruth? Remember in the book of Ruth in chapter number 1, how that Elimelech, because of how resources were in Bethlehem, things dried up. And so he and his family went to Moab. But the Bible says that he went to Moab to sojourn there. That just means to temporarily pull off the road. That means to just for a moment of time, until things get better, we're gonna go to Moab and where things are rich. You know the story as well as I do. Everyone died in Moab save Naomi. And we know that Naomi, she lost her 2 children, she lost her husband. And finally she goes back to Bethlehem. And we know that when she went back to Bethlehem, they were saying, "It's Naomi, it's Naomi." She says, "Call me not Naomi, for I am bitter. Call me Mara." You see, this world and Egypt, here in the Bible, Moab, it has nothing good for us. It will not treat you right. It will not play fair. And so we know that Elimelech in the book of Ruth, he went to sojourn just for a little while, but he never returned home. Can I say this morning, let us commit to the process. Don't go to Egypt. If you're in Egypt now, get up and make your way back to Bethlehem, because Naomi got word that there was bread in Bethlehem, and so she went back. There is bread this morning in Bethlehem. There is spiritual bread this morning in the house of God. There is joy this morning engaging with God in prayer. There is great fulfillment and peace and contentment when you say, "No, I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm going back to Jesus." Listen, there, a lot of people think there's great fulfillment with drugs and alcohol and sex and all of those things, pornography, all the things of the world. But listen, it never brings that absolute joy and fulfillment. Only Jesus brings that this morning. Only Jesus. Jesus is saying, God is saying through His servant Moses, He says, "You've been here long enough. Lift anchor. Go home. Enjoy the blessed life." This morning we see this endeavor. Verse number 7, he says, "Turn and take your journey." Listen, church, it's a journey. It's a journey. Someone who is trying to get healthy, and they say, "Man, I'm going to get healthy." You can't expect the full benefit of getting healthy on day one, because you just started. But if you commit to that journey, on day 2, I guarantee you, you'll feel something has changed. Getting healthy, eating right. Let me say this right here. I want to brag on Jesus and what He's done in my life this week. I haven't had sugar for 7 days. I have not. 7 days I haven't had sugar. For 7 days, I've had about, Brother Ceylon, about 800 calories a day. And I want to tell you, I felt like I was being crucified. A couple of times I was a little scared to drive because I was so shaky. But I've been telling bits and pieces of it here and there. I didn't get that good of a doctor's report on some blood work. And I'll tell you what, it was the kick in the pants I needed. And so I've been a borderline diabetic my whole life. Runs in my family and all the rest of it. And I'll tell you what, blood work came back and said, son, your 6.5 is your A1C. Was a 6.4. 6.5 means go ahead and grab your t-shirt. You're a diabetic. I told my wife, listen, I told my wife, I'm done. I'm done. I am not going to, and whoever has diabetes in here, this isn't about you. This is about me right now. Some people say, oh, I've had diabetes my whole life. Don't brag about it. My grandfather is missing half his foot because of diabetes. I want to say this morning that I told Christy, I said, I'm done. I'm done. And for 7 days, you ain't going to believe what I'm about to tell you. I've lost 18 pounds in 7 days. This is intermittent fasting along with zero sugar. I may not look 18 pounds lighter, but you wait till I lose 50 and 60. I told Miss Cassie yesterday at Marianne Sanvey's birthday celebration, I want to be able to hula hoop through a Cheerio. You wait and see. Panama City, watch out. Me and Miss Hales is coming back next year. It wasn't the news I wanted, I guarantee you that, a couple weeks ago. And it's like the doctor, the nurse called, and I had to talk to the lady at the pharmacy, picking up my test machine I have to do every day, twice a day. Listen, don't feel bad for me. It's partly genetic, but the other part of it is my doings. And she's looking at me, handing me my stuff, and looking like I got a death sentence. The nurse talking to me, she says, so I guess you heard. Yeah, I heard. Why y'all looking like I'm about to die for? But you know what? Buddy, on the inside, I'm ready to commit. I'm ready to commit to go the other way. I'm 40 years old, and I'm not going to be a burden to my family at 40 years old. You mark my words, before you and God right now, I'm living a life totally committed, going a new way. Going a new way. And if I put myself out there this morning, don't you dare say you don't have anything that you need to commit to go for. We all have things in our life. We all have areas that we need to lift anchor. What is it in your life where you know God is saying you've been here long enough? You've been messing with the same people long enough. You've been doing the same drugs long enough. You've been doing all of these things long enough. You've been staying out too late long enough. You've been messing around at school long enough. Talking behind people's backs long enough. Jesus this morning wants you to lift anchor and move forward. So we see an endeavor here. But then, notice this in verse number 8. We see an encouragement. An encouragement. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. God is saying, I'm not asking you to do something that doesn't pay off. I'm not asking you to do something that's not going to be better than where you're at. Now, this particular spot where they were at in Moab, I looked on the map. Man, I was a map man last night, Brother John. I was looking at maps. Fell asleep a couple times. But this particular spot where they were at, and most commentators say that they could see from where they're at, see into Canaan at a distance. And so, really, they've been where they're at and in the wilderness for 40 years, just looking at the life they could have. dreaming of the life they could have. You ever met anybody that says, oh, I wish my life was like theirs, and I wish I had the peace they have? Well, let me ask you this. Are you dying to yourself daily? Do you have a consistent prayer life? Do you read your Bible? Do you want to have a better life? Or do you live your life by excuses? Well, this is the reason why I can't. Don't focus on the reasons why you can't, and focus on the reasons why you can. I've set before you, and I want to tell you what. I set before you, he says, Canaan land, which was a much, much better place. And I tell you this, at 40 years old, this is no knock on anybody, as a senior citizen, I don't know if anybody in here is 90. Anybody in here 90? All right. At 40 years old, I should not feel like 90. I shouldn't. I'm confessing to you and laying bare my soul this morning that the same way he told, God through Moses told Israel, I've set before you a better land. God told me, he said, this isn't what I have for you, son. He said, what about a life where you don't have to catch your breath so much? What about a life where you don't have to wear slip-on shoes anymore? And don't feel sorry for me. I'm venting this morning. This message is for me. What about a life, Lord telling me, what about a life where you can sleep good at night, not worry about dying every night because you stop breathing? What about it? I'm telling you this morning, there's a better day ahead of me. I'm moving forward. I'm committed to the process. Come what may, doesn't bother me. I'm moving forward. My question is this morning, will you move forward in your life in whatever area you think you need to? Whether I'm standing alone or everybody stands with me, not physically, I'm moving forward. Will you move forward? Will you commit that you've been, and will you commit and admit that you've been where you're at long enough? It's time to move forward. Here we see that there's a better land. Verse 8, the Lord gave a word of encouragement. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Will you commit this morning, or will you continue to look at Canaan land from Moab? Will you continue to see all the activity going on in Canaan land? And will you continue to follow from afar as Peter did? God help this morning someone commit to a new process of moving forward, leaving where they're at to a life that's better. It's been long enough. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I bared my soul this morning. Don't feel bad about it at all, because that's how committed I am to the process. Father, I pray that you would give liberty during this time of invitation. Take the words, Lord, that were said. We've tried our best to rightly divide your word and apply. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in the next few moments. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come this morning, you come and do business with the Lord. Anybody else desperate this morning and don't care what people think? Come and recommit. Anybody else, this is your opportunity to respond in the time frame of God's word being preached. Anyone else? Invitation is still open. If you need to come, you come. You may just want to praise the Lord. You come and do that.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, thou wilt come, thy
softly, but be fine. Just playing softly while these are here. Just give it a couple more moments. If you need to come, it's not too late. We'll be conscious of the one that's down here this morning, and thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoy the service, and thank you for being part of the service, and Lord willing, we'll be back, Lady COU again at 3 o'clock, choir practice at 4:30, evening service at 5. So, anything else to mention before we close? Blessed to have you here. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Corey Pearson, a lot have already heard, but part of the diplomats, I believe it was a confirmed heart attack, and had a heart attack, and he's a survivor, praise the Lord. I texted him and told him, praise the Lord, you survived your heart attack. But they put a stent in, and so he's committed to his road of recovery. So, but you pray for him and his recovery process. Anything else? All right. Well, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. And everyone, have a great afternoon. And we'll see you back here in just a little while. Brother Allen, would you close it out?
Father, we do love you. Praise you. Thank you for the day you've given us, the opportunity we've had to be in your house. Thank you for the message of the message. Lord, thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit in each one that's come this morning. Lord, I'm sure some praying for their seats as well today. Lord, maybe even on Facebook.
Thank you.
God, thank you. Prayer. God, I pray that you would answer. God, I pray again that you'd be with us. We'll see you, the ladies, this afternoon.
This right here. I got this from her. This is the updated version. Want to remind everyone of the sign-up sheet if you're interested. Again, down front to witness at the fair this coming fair in September. The fair in September. Thank you.